This episode of Good Dogs is one of two on the topic of a police officer in South Carolina who choked his canine partner. At the time that Amy Sadler, my friend and the dog trainer who works with me often on Dog Talk and Kitties Too, at that time, nobody was talking about it much. And I felt it important that we all think about it and talk about it, and that those who don't have a voice, children and animals, need people who constantly put it in front of everyone, that we need to treat them with compassion and respect. So this is the first of two conversations. The next one will be with Carol Borden on this topic, who's my co-host of Good Dogs. And I will tell you that while it's disturbing to think about this and hear about it, you may be glad to know that at the end of the day, that police officer was fired. Not because of this show or us bringing attention to it, but because other people kept attention on the problem. So listen and see what you think. I'm going to bring up a topic today that you may be aware of in the news. It came out of North Carolina, where a canine police handler was filmed without his knowledge, mishandling is a very polite way of putting it, his dog. I'm going to do a series of interviews about it because it's such a disturbing and distressing emotional experience for someone to watch that I'm turning to some of the really smartest people I know in the dog world to talk about what happened here. What is it that we saw? How do we deal with our emotions? What can we do to avoid situations like this, learn from them? Who can learn from them? And how do we get through the barrier of what I would call the blue wall of silence? And that's my saying that I am absolutely respectful and grateful to police and military protectors of us and our society everywhere. I don't think the police should be defunded. I think they're brave and have a very scary job. And I do think that a few bad apples in many different situations in life rise to the top. And that's what we see. I hope that's what we saw in this video. I don't know exactly what we saw. So I've turned to Amy Sadler, who's not only a longtime friend, but the first dog trainer I ever worked with seriously back in California and then in the Hamptons. And Amy now handles a lot of dogs that nobody wants to deal with down in Florida, dogs that have been in very abused situations and dogs that aren't considered good candidates for being pets. And she knows quite a lot about how dogs are trained for the military and for the police. It's not the work she does herself, but she really understands what the relationship is between a trainer and a dog, the communication, what is it that's happening, good or bad, at any point. So I asked her to look at the video and a second video, which showed the dog after it was swung by its neck and choked out, slammed against the police car, and then slugged in the head, and then patted after that. So, Amy, thank you for being willing to do this. I know it's a complicated and very uncomfortable situation to have to look at and figure out what is it that we're seeing. And is there anything we can do constructively or positively so that this isn't happening, let's just say, in other police departments, or certainly never again in this police department? Thanks for being here. I know it's not your usual, it's not the road you usually travel down.
It's not actually a fun conversation, that's for sure. But thank you for having me, as always, and for valuing my opinion. And thank you for your support. And I would parrot your words and thoughts and sentiments around being supportive of law enforcement, and thank you for the freedoms that we have for yes. anybody that fights for them and helps to protect us.
That's right.
That being said, I mean, to me, and my expertise absolutely is not the training of working dogs, especially dogs are going to work out on the streets, or competition dogs. That's not my expertise either. The expertise is doing more advanced training and behavior modification for dogs that are at risk of euthanasia for behavioral challenges. So
yes.
that's where my exposure to training, more advanced training, was so that I was well-educated and dogs wouldn't fall through the cracks, and that I wouldn't know how to help them or save them because I didn't know how to train at that level. So that was my purpose for always having the exposure to this sort of training. And I think the real conversation to me comes from, and it's broad stroke, we could talk about it for many different reasons, but here we are talking about this unfortunate situation, is that is there a time and a place for correction and the proper use of punishment as defined by behavioral science, and how, what's the threshold, and when does it become abuse? And
okay, so let me just interrupt.
Really, and we're trying to identify.
I guess I should paint a picture for people of what this video is. I'll have a link to the video in the podcast of this show. Some people say, I don't want to watch a dog being abused. Okay, you didn't want to either, right, Amy? I mean, when I asked you to, you were reluctant.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw a dog being you called it helicoptering. I've never even heard the phrase.
Yes.
I know about very antiquated dog training, and I'll be doing a second show, if not five more shows about this, because I think all of us can learn from it, with Carol Borden from Guardian Angel Service Dogs, who's also trained Schutzhund dogs, who do all the work that a police dog or a military working dog does in the field. And it's very specific work and very specific training. You don't have to look at the video, but it's very important for us as a society to protect the most vulnerable members of it. So 20 years ago, I'm picking a number, I may be wrong. If you saw an adult hitting, slapping, screaming at a child in public, even dragging it by its jacket or its feet, the truth is, in our society, we looked away. That was considered acceptable. I'll call it 30 years ago. The fact is, it's how people used to be allowed to behave in public. Now you would call the police. So here, somebody has filled a policeman who's been paired, it's supposed to be a big honor, with a canine working dog in the Salisbury, North Carolina Police Department. And we clearly see behavior that bad or worse, as what I described what happened to a child. And who do you call? The police? No, because guess who gave him the privilege of being a canine handler? The police chief, Chief Jerry Stokes, who I had a little bit of email back and forth with, highly unpleasant, pretty hostile. My desire in bringing this up is not to say, let's do the same thing to the man as was done to the dog. That's kind of, unfortunately, the visceral response. What we saw was a training video that the man did not know was being videoed. Amy, describe it, because you could see very clearly as a dog trainer, while you don't train this sort of dog, just describe in quick strokes what it was, what the situation was that was being filmed surreptitiously and then slipped to the local TV station, which has covered it extensively.
So it looks like they were doing an exercise. There was a decoy, which is a man in a full bite suit. So they're protected because the dog, you assume, will be sent to, given the cue to go ahead and bite the person eventually in the exercise. And it looks like they were practicing the dog as if a police officer is going to speak to someone and they open the door to their car, but the dog is expected to stay, right? Mm-hmm. The dog is expected to hold position and not come out and do anything unless they're commanded to do so. And it looks like this is what they were practicing. So I don't know. We don't know if the dog was going to be sent for a bite, if it's just a setup for, you're not going to come out of the car this time. We don't know what they were training for, but that was the setup. And as the officer leaves the car with the door open, it looks like, I can't hear, but gives the dog a quiet, normal tone of voice command to stay in the car, whatever your command is for that. And he started to stride pretty confidently towards the decoy and was a little bit looking over his shoulder. And at one point he was about, I think, a third of the way to the decoy. It looks like he reminds the dog that you're going to be staying in the car, but he's moving away confidently that he expects that his dog is going to hold position. But unfortunately, the gentleman, there are people talking and they raise their voices a little bit to try to hear it themselves over an airplane in the background.
Yes.
It looks to me that the dog had his head dropped out of the car and the dog wasn't looking but listening for his command because excitedly anticipating being asked to come out of the car for the bite because they love that part. That's the most fun for them. And it looked to me that the dog misinterpreted the voices raising up and anticipated and broke and started to head out towards the decoy. And the handler saw that his dog had broken, turns quickly and yells very loudly, stay. The dog hits the deck in a down position and looks pretty immediately concerned, like very clear. His ears are back, not forward, as if he's been put in the down on purpose, and they practice that all the time. He's not looking for the next command. He's clear. His ears are back. He looks like a little nervous. He holds his down. He doesn't run away, but he holds his down. And his head is kind of going from side to side, which is a way of averting his eyes from his handler, which is a sign of deference. So he was trying to hold the down and be deferent. And the handler approaches him, puts a leash on him, picks him up, and attempts to, while he's hanging in the air by his neck, tries to, a technique would be to swing him all the way around his head. That's what
by
the
his
helicoptering
neck.
Comes from.
Yep.
By his neck with his feet off the ground. He ends up just kind of slinging him over his shoulders. The dog is hanging by his neck while he's slung over his handler's shoulder. He strides to the car strongly, kind of flings the dog against the car, and is trying to kind of throw the dog up and into the car, and then does slap him on the top of the head. And a little while later, he's just still staying in the door. And a couple of seconds later, he actually just pets him. And then the video is over.
However, during the video, so that was a very good depiction of it. So please understand, the dog is hung up by his neck and hangs there limply, as if either he has no strength or no oxygen, or he's given up. This has happened to him before, and he knows there's no point fighting. Because if you were to grab a human by the neck, or a squirrel, or any kind of animal, it would thrash and fight. This dog hangs by its neck, by what's called a choke chain, because that's what they use on them, choke chains. And he is slung over the man's back and seems to be a dead weight, like a dead body. He's not in any way resisting. And I think you called that...
It does look to me that he's in a state of learned helplessness. That's what it looks like to
me. Right,
which
is a very technical term. Learned helplessness is important for people to know. These are all like training terms. So then he tries to throw him into the car, but the dog's just limp. And winds up hitting him against the car and then smushing him in the car. And then I didn't see a slap on the head. I saw a slug, but it doesn't matter. He does ask the person who must be the person taking the video. There's no witnesses. We're okay, right? And then banter back and forth. Is your camera on? No, I have no power, says the man doing the abusing. And the other guy goes, he says, check my car. Make sure my car video is not on. And the guy says, no, you're good. But that man saying that was taking video, and then must have been him. Who else could it have been? And then gives it to the TV station. So the question is, and we will continue the conversation. This is really a setup of it, is who's learning something here? Has this dog learned anything? Because my concern is, of course, the dog was abused. The dog hasn't learned anything. The dog has only learned he can't trust this man. Maybe he can't trust all people. It can't be good for the bond between the man and the dog, and it can't be good for the dog's sense of confidence in knowing what he's supposed to be doing. But who trained the man? It says now on the website of the North Carolina Salisbury Police Department that the trainers get 240 hours of training. That's a massive amount. You could get a PhD with 240 hours of anything. And that the dogs are delivered to the police department 95% trained. It says that, 95%. So the 5%, in theory, is the bonding of the handler chosen by Chief Jerry Stokes to work with this dog. So they've chosen a man who's clearly his reaction is rage. When he yells at the dog to stay, when the dog has broken and come towards him, he bellows it. He screams it in a rage. We know that when policemen do high-speed chases, that their adrenaline is raised, their fear is raised, all of their chemicals and their blood are raised. This man went from striding towards his decoy, who's still really far away, to being in an enraged, angry attack on this dog. So tell a little bit, if you can, what you see when somebody reacts like that to a dog, Amy. You've had to correct dogs who either didn't do what you said or weren't clear about it or chose not to follow it. This dog, I think, didn't understand the command, is my guess, or too enthusiastic. But the man also had a remote electronic collar receiver. The cop did around his neck. His hand was on it. Was he also zapping the dog's neck? I don't know. But the dog was trying to avoid this behavior that wasn't new to him. Did it seem to you that this was a big surprise to the dog, or is learned helplessness something you do because you've already been down this road?
No. Well, learned helplessness comes from that there's no way to avoid or flee or get away from whatever the punishing thing is that you want to avoid. And so you just give up. And, you know, where those terms came from and the experiments that were done way back when that concluded this were horrible, you know, animals on an electrified floor and one half gets zapped and then they move over and they're like, oh, phew, I can get away from that if I go over here. And just when they think that they've learned that, they switch sides and then eventually they can't escape it anywhere that they go and they end up just laying down and taking it. And so that's where the term, I mean, that's a very short version of it, but that's the term of
right.
Where learned helplessness came from. And in my I mean, the dog in the beginning had his head dropped out of the car because he was eagerly anticipating being cued to be able to go and finish the exercise, right? So the dog seemed fine then. It seemed also very clear once his handler turned and yelled stay to him when he dropped. To me, it seemed very clear pretty quickly that the dog was there. He was clear that the correction was coming. And I felt like, so I think the point to me, again, this is not my expertise to train these dogs, is that if you need a high performance and a reliable performance, when and is there a time and place for the use of positive punishment? And you could get a lot of arguments about that. And I think it'll be a really great conversation for you to have with your trainer that has trained Schutz and is working and training service dogs, right?
Yes.
There is a time and a place for the use of positive punishment in my world. And ultimately, it's when you can't do that. That has to be off the table. And of course, you always want all this foundation of all the things you can do instead when we want you to not do that thing we don't want you to do. And for a working dog to understand clearly, you cannot break a stay command or a command to remain in the car, whatever. You cannot anticipate and decide on your own to come. I mean, that's pretty critical. So do I think that there is a time and a place for a correction for a dog that breaks under those circumstances? 100%. I understand that and would probably support it if it had been done correctly. But unfortunately, I'm going to give you my opinion, is the correction that was applied was inhumane and abusive. And so to me, what the really important question is, where do you find that threshold of what is an appropriate and humane correction and what is not?
Perfect. We're at the end of our time, but I will say that the local North Carolina TV station went to two local facilities where they train dogs for the police department. So the 95% trained dog that's delivered at $35,000 to the department that this particular cop mistreated this way, they said on the air, this was completely inappropriate behavior by the policeman. So we're going to continue this conversation, but I want people to understand what they're seeing when they see bad behavior by humans and by dogs and the best way to handle it. And the way not to handle it. So I want to tamp down emotions, but I don't want people to turn away. I want us to stand up for the dogs and stand up for the kids because they're not that dissimilar in our society. Thank you very much for being here, Amy. It's a conversation you and I will continue.
Sure.
And I will continue with the people you know from the Throwaway Dog Project who do, in fact, train dogs from shelters for law enforcement. I'm going to have them on as well. Thank you very much for taking the time and being willing to talk about this very uncomfortable and pleasant situation.
Sure thing.